Thank you for that. A little yacht rock. Let's get out on the yacht with Karen Lyle, who will co-host this segment with you. She does on Tuesdays, 9:40 Pacific. She is from SailSportsTalk.com. We're going to have a little two-minute interview Karen did with Pip Hare during the segment. But, Karen, I'm looking at the Vendée right now. About halfway done, I see that Charlie Dahlin is in the lead. He looks like he's just in between southwest Australia and Antarctica, but then I see some are still going around the Cape of Good Hope. I mean, this really is spread out right now. How are you seeing it?
Oh, it is. Well, and also they have different types of boats, so there's different speeds that the different boats go on. So this is wonderful. Tracker where you can see exactly where each of the racers are and how they are in the race. And, you know, I think this race is very unique in the sense that, yes, we're looking at who's first, second, third, and all of that. But really what happens is that these solo circumnavigators got their own fan bases who follow them. And they find the personalities that they like because it's the journey. It's the adventure, it's the hardships, it's the way in which a racer handles their time on the water that is so intriguing to those of us who don't do this, because I am not ever going to do this race.
Well, it's funny, I'm looking at some of these teams are so French, you know, Dahlin from Massif Santé Prévoyance, you've got this guy, second place, Sébastien Simon from Group Dublieu, you've got Paprec Acre, but the one that I don't like is Vulnerable, the Vulnerable Team. That's not a very good name.
Well, actually, that's one of the people that I interviewed in that when I was there. And so, you know, and if you look at the, on SailSportTalk.com, I've set up where the tracker is so that people, if they want to listen, they can go look at that. So Sam Goodchild is one of the people that I interviewed when I was there in Paris before everybody left. And so he's in the Vulnerable. And, you know, frankly, if you want to know the truth, if you're out there in a boat by yourself, circumnavigating around the world, it pays to know that you're vulnerable. Because you're really out there with Mother Nature, you have to pay attention to what's happening. You can't just take it for granted and be like, oh, yeah, I'm king of the world, I can do anything. You're out there going, oh, you know what, I am here one small dot on this planet, and I have to get along.
No doubt, and, you know, some boats are abandoned. I look way, way in the back is a Chinese boat, Jingzheng Shu from Xingshen Team Haiku. And my apologies if that's Taiwanese and not China, but I didn't even know that they were involved in the race. That's kind of cool. It just even makes it even more global.
Yes, and I met them when I was there, because I met all 40 of the racers at the press conference. We had a big gathering, and there was the Chinese media. There were two, a videographer and a producer who were there. And we were chatting, you know, while we were waiting for the different people that we were going to be interviewing. And so, yes, they're making a go of it. And in this race, when someone, you know, they have to prove themselves to even be able to compete in the race, because, you know, the Vendée Globe doesn't want people dying on this race. Mm-hmm. You know, they want them to be able to complete the race, and they have to show enough sea time and acumen, and their boat has to pass, you know, certain requirements in order to be able to participate. And they have teams on shore that they're in touch with that help give them advice when something breaks, when something happens, and so forth. So for some people, it takes several times going round before they get to the point where they really are competitive, you know, up there. And so the goal when you first start this is just to finish the race. I mean, that's an accomplishment, just to be able to circumnavigate. You see on here, if you're looking at, like, the rankings and the different tracking, that we have Samantha Davies. And I met Samantha Davies and interviewed her. She's one of the interviews that I did of her in Paris is on the SailSport Talk. And you and I had chatted a little bit before we broadcast that. Back in November, I think it was September, November, when I'm trying to remember when that I think it was September that I was there. And so she had done the race last year and then had to abandon because of a an injury to her boat. I think she hit something when she was traveling and she had to detour. And she decided to go and finish the race anyway, even though she was out of the race, because you have to be able to do this continuously and you can't just drop out and fix your boat and then go back in. But she actually finished the race without doing the without getting credit for it as part of the race. And she, because she was raising money for a charity that was one of her favorite charities, and she knew that if she stopped the race, she would stop raising the money for the charity. So she finished the race, and so she's back in the race, and she's number 13, you know, which is, you know, really, I mean, really placing anywhere in the top 20 is quite significant in this race, being that it's so challenging. It would be interesting to hear, to share what Pip Hare has said. Now, Pip, I'm not keeping track by satellite of each of the races, because they're so much in demand for doing what they're doing that they'll give us little shout-outs here and there. And so this is a shout-out that she's given that's pre-recorded that talks about, and just to give a little preface, this is the first time she's been on a foiling boat. And so in the boats, the times that she has traveled before in the Vendée Globe, she's been in a boat where the hull has been in the water. But now there is a trend for some of these races to be in foiling boats, which is why you see some boats really way ahead and some boats that are not, because the ones that foil go faster. And let's just listen to what she has to say about this experience of being on a foiling boat in this race.
It's been a pretty mental night out here. I've got 35 knot average at the moment. It's been up to 38, 39. I say the sea state is kind of, we're in four and a half meter waves now. So yeah, it's pretty full on. Medallia's going well. I'm quite pleased though. It's a big learning process for me. You know, how do you learn how to regulate these boats in conditions like this, kind of training where we are, because you just don't have access to them. So I'm learning a lot about using the foils, how much to use the foils, you know, what my sail or my sailect isn't necessarily what I should be using. So I'm kind of feeling my way a bit and maybe getting a little bit braver each time. So getting a lot of pleasure out of this, a lot. It's just all going in the knowledge bank. It's exciting, and I'm excited to be catching Roman up again. You know, that's really great too. It is just, oh my god, here we go. Oh, no, sorry. It is just full on. Oh my word, it's full on. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It's an assault on every single sense that you have. You know, the noise, the G-force, the motion, the intensity of it. Your brain's working all the time. Just trying to do anything takes major planning. I mean, I just think this is one of the most intense tests you can put a human being through. And we're racing too, which is kind of even nuttier. Anyway, it's good here. I think I've got maybe another 4 or 5 hours of these conditions, and then it should start to taper off. But Pip is good.
Pip is good. Talking about herself in the third person, you can lose your mind out there. Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle back with you. Just a couple minutes left in the segment. And Karen, I was also looking right around middle of the pack on the Vendée Globe tracker is a skipper by the name of Isabelle Josque, and another woman out there on her own. Did you get a chance to run into her?
I saw her. I didn't talk to her. I didn't interview her. The ones that I interviewed were Oliver Heer, who was there for the Swiss team, and we had Pip Hare, of course, you know, because you and I have both interviewed her previously, and then I got to meet her and give her a hug. She's just a great person. Really, it was so fun to see her in person. And and then let's see, we also had Conrad Coleman, that I interviewed that was there. So I picked the ones who were very comfortable speaking English, because this was a press conference that was entirely in French. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had little translating devices for the different languages, but they forgot to tell everybody that they had those.
Did you say, "I'm American and we rule the world, so will you please speak English"?
You know, I look at it with amusement at myself, because I know that we are as arrogant about our language as the French are about their language. And so when I had the translator and I was interviewing the president of the Vendée Globe and we're talking to each other, sincerely, neither of us spoke each other's language. And I'm thinking, you know, we really should speak each other's language.
So, you know, this is something that I really admire. It's sort of like, I'm not into bicycle racing, but I admire the Tour de France, because it's just, I couldn't do one stage, and they're doing it stages every day. And so I just remember, as we were talking about 20 years ago, when I was interviewing Bruce Schwab on the Vendée by satellite phone, you could hear in his voice, I'd say two-thirds of the time, he was almost just like a shell of a man. A couple other times, maybe he had had a cup of coffee or he had good weather and he was a little more fit. But I think, you know, just the elements, and it's the relentlessness. Like, you never, ever, ever get a break physically or mentally in this race.
Well, and also going from, like Pip Hare described, being in the water, with the hole in the water, you might be going 14 knots. When you go up on foils, you're going 35 knots. I mean, that is so fast on a boat. I mean, you feel the G-forces, as she said. And, you know, and also everything, you have to keep the boat level, because you're not doing it a heel. It's not like a comfortable sail. It may be comfortable when it's level, but you have to really pay attention, because if you make a mistake, then you're back down in the water, crash, you know. And that can also be a force on your ribs and your body and your spine and everything like that, to crash down from the foils onto the water. So usually what happens is it's not foiling all the time, because the winds are not always consistently high enough to have that kind of, but she anticipated she was going to be, what, another 5 hours at that speed. That's a lot. I mean, this is not like sprinting. This is, you know, they're out there for months.
Pip Hare right now in 16th place. Other women, Samantha Davis from Great Britain is in 13th place. You have Clarisse Cremet from L'Occitane Provence. She's in 11th place. Justine Metraux, she is in 10th place. So the women doing very well, very well represented in the Vendée Global Classic. And remember, go to sailsporttalk.com for more information and links to all these types of stories. Karen Lyle has been with us. Karen, thanks for coming by once again.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, Rick, and share the stories and the curiosity about everybody's lives on the water.
Very good. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will get on back on Byline.